Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Excuse me for clearing my throat. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you'd like to make during this broadcast, or if you'd like to call in, you can dial me at area code 646-716-4893, or you can email me at bondk@aol.com if you have any questions for me or for my guest. Before my guest comes on, because he's running a little late, I would like to say hello to everyone. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I was away at our healing weekend in Los Angeles, which was an unbelievable event. It was only hampered by the fact that I really got sick the second day I was there. But I was so inspired by all the wonderful women who showed up at our healing event. 25 women were there from all over California, the country, Canada. And it was just an amazing, few days together. You know, I always forget how amazing it really is for other people because they don't have the same exposure as I have to people who are, to our women. You know, I've been doing this for so many years and I've met, so many of our women. I've been very lucky that way. But for many of the women who come to the healing weekend, it's the first time that they're actually meeting people, who are in the same situation. So it's so validating for them. And so exciting to meet other women who can understand exactly what they say without having to really say much of anything. So that's what I love about our healing weekends. And once again, we had a wonderful group of women who came in from all over. And it was just so wonderful to really have the opportunity to meet people. And I always tell women, when you come to a healing weekend, you never walk away the same way. I know some women walk away feeling worse for the moment, but that changes in the future. You know, we don't give any false hope there. You know, we tell it like it is. We struggle, and we really have to work with what we have and understand what the situation is. And sometimes women come, I think, looking for an answer that's going to make things different, and nothing really ever does. So we're honest, we share with each other, and eventually, once again, hopefully you take away more than you thought you ever would, at least by meeting other women who have experienced this. So that's what I loved about our healing weekend. And the next one won't be till next year, and it's going to be here in Philadelphia. I'll be announcing it in the upcoming months, and looking forward to it. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for women to get together and meet each other. So I am really looking forward to that. I'm still waiting for my guest to show up. Dr. Hooper must be running late. So I'll talk about some other things, because tonight Dr. Hooper and I were going to talk about a number of issues that really affect women. But before I even get started, I want to send a shout out to a new woman who's really a wonderful woman who's come part of our network. Her name is Stephanie. Stephanie, thank you so much for sending me your really inspiring letter. I know when I hear from women who have gone through pain and for hurt, and you know, they're just feeling better because they found a connection here, it always makes me happier also. So Stephanie, I want to welcome you to our network of women who are there to help each other. You know, I want to let women know that I do have support mechanisms for you, and so that you should always realize that, you know, it's not just me. There are other women. If you need a pain pal or someone to help you through this, I have some wonderful women who are willing to share and to help you through this experience so that you don't have to feel like you're going through it alone. If you need a pain pal, all you have to do is write to me and say, Bonnie, please hook me up with someone who can help me through this, and I am more than happy to do that. So if you're looking for a pain pal, just let me know. And once again, I'll be more than happy to do that for you. As I'm looking for, you know, Dr. Hooper to join us, I'm sure he ran into a little snag. But I will talk a little bit tonight about understanding narcissism, because this seems to be an issue for many of us when we have husbands who are narcissists. And a lot of people are confused around narcissism and also sociopaths. And are they the same? Are they different? But basically what narcissism is an unhealthy focus on a person that affects others in unhealthy ways. And it says that everyone to some extent is narcissistic. Most people want the good stuff, and from a psychological point of view, everything we do is for some emotional payoff in order to feel better about ourselves in life. And that's really true. You know, if you go out and you help other people, that really helps you feel better about yourself. It says the definitive quality of healthy narcissism is obtaining self-gratifying results in ways that don't damage other people, whereas unhealthy narcissism works from the mindset, I win and I don't care if you lose, or your loss is my win. Narcissism is self-absorption coupled with destructive behavior. And this goes on around the world. I mean, it's not just us, that, you know, as straight wives that go through this. There are a lot of narcissistic personality people. And it says a narcissistic personality disorder is a cluster B mental disorder and is characterized in this cluster alongside others such as histrionic disorder and borderline disorder. Narcissism is known to be a construction of false self, and therefore the individual exhibit behavior that is pathological or not real in nature. I believe any individual who is not comfortable within their own skin, therefore disconnected from their inner peace, can develop narcissistic characteristics. And it says, how do individuals deal with inner pain and emotional insecurity? External factors such as race, class, income status, or religious place is not important as to whether or not an individual be narcissistic. It is an inner self issue. and there are three types of people living with inner pain and emotional insecurity, which applies to the greater community. And here's the classifications: the ones that wear a mask, suffer in silence, and don't want to burden others, the ones that wear a mask and steal energy from the world to feel better, and the ones that take off the mask, take responsibility for their emotions, work on themselves, and improve life from the inside out. This article says no one is perfect, and this is totally understandable. However, the damage of narcissism is extremely evident. I'm astounded by how many women I meet and who know who are in or have had bad relationships with men who are atypically narcissistic. There are also many females who are insecure, creating a mask and manipulating people to their detriment for their own self-benefit. However, two essential facts stand out. Genetically, men tend to act out jealously, insecurities, and vengeance more violently than most women, and women tend to act more codependently and hang on to their dysfunctional partners, regardless of the damage, longer than most men. Statistically, women are at a greater risk than men for narcissistic abuse. Essentially, women, who are more inclined to be the caretakers and empaths of society, will tolerate and hang on to narcissistic relationships more than men will. Women tend to be the fixers and can feel compelled to sort out issues, whereas the average man is not particularly compelled to fix a woman who constantly demands attentions and acts in childish, aggressive, and immature ways. It goes on to say that women are also biologically and genetically engineered to have a focus on the one and will try to make painful relationships work, whereas men have a greater capacity to think in terms of there are plenty more opportunities available. Here it says, for the statistics on narcissism, there are no firm statistics available in regard to the frequency of the narcissistic personality disorder. Psychologists state that 1% of the population is diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, and 75% of the cases in therapy are men. This 1% statistic is gathered only from the individuals diagnosed in therapy. Most narcissists aren't in therapy, and even if they are, may not be diagnosed. Psychologists freely admit to this, as well as the frustration and the impossibility of working effectively with people who have this disorder. By definition, narcissists severely lack humility and will avoid admitting there's something wrong with them at all costs. Most narcissists in therapy are forced there by the courts or have arrived for other reasons, such as alcoholism or divorce. They usually don't show up to deal with the narcissistic behavior. If narcissism is confronted, most narcissists will discredit their therapy and leave. The remaining ones will only do a few sessions at most. Boy, this is sounding so familiar, isn't it, to us? I estimate that up to 16% of society is severely narcissistic. This is almost one in every six people. I believe this is a much more accurate assessment. What is frightening is narcissists are extremely emotionally insecure despite their outer charisma and seek love partners frenetically. And as per my alert to women, male narcissists are more successful in hooking and retaining their relationships, therefore creating severe psychological damage to women. When you read on, you'll understand how this is achieved. We're going to move on to a song for a moment.
Singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night. Black night.
Show. Please forgive me for that coughing fit that I just went through. Unfortunately, I'm just getting over a really bad virus. So getting back to our whole issue of narcissism, this article also states that I believe the root of domestic violence is narcissism, and until society as a whole understands and heals this malignancy, every part of our world suffers. What takes place in the world starts within the home. So the article goes on to say the real cause of narcissism, because I think a lot of us wonder, is it nature, is it nurture? And it says, why has narcissism permeated our world? The answer is because we have not evolved as a world society to understand the necessity to create an authentic emotional self. To be at one with ourselves, life and others, is a very spiritual experience. To not be at one is a hellish experience. This is the state where narcissism is born. It says, when we are at one, there's no need to take, harm, maim, manipulate, or lie. Narcissism is not a mental condition. It's a spiritual, emotional condition. We've been taught that me versus you and survival of the fittest. Society's lack of authentic emotional training left us with the belief that it's weak to be your authentic self and real. A narcissist feels terrorized at the thought of vulnerability, being emotionally honest, and develops a pathological false self to guard the unresolved emotional wounds. The narcissist and many other individuals haven't realized that establishing healthy boundaries, function, and living truthfully in self-honoring ways keeps us safe and grants us the freedom to be real, navigates our lives with authenticity, self-love, self-esteem, and self-respect, whilst making decisions that work for the greater good. And here it says that the lack of emotional intelligence training created the martyr or codependent, I win, I lose, you win, and the narcissist is, I win, you lose. Our new world can now create I win, everyone wins mentality, and it's time this awareness and training took place. Here it says the pain, the shock, and the trauma of narcissistic abuse. Narcissistic relationships are tragic and can lead to significant demise. Many women die in this version of love, or at the very least spend years, if not the rest of their lives, emotionally, mentally, financially, physically, and spiritually crippled. I'm passionate about releasing this information for educational purposes, so women may identify this personality disorder and know that they aren't going mad. Prevention, disconnection, and recovery require becoming very clear about what narcissism is. All young women should be educated before dating to become empowered and aware enough to avoid highly damaged narcissistic relationships. I'm not ignoring men who may also be suffering at the hands of narcissistic females. The same dynamics apply. I empathize greatly with these men, and I have met many. The results that nice guys may suffer at the hands of abusive women are similarly devastating. Therefore, even though this article has been positioned for women, I also urge males in destructive relationships, past or present, to read this article in order to understand narcissism. Importantly, I will state narcissistic enmeshment and damage can occur in any relationship in life. It could happen with a parent, a child, a friend, or a business partner. This article is just not about love relationships. The information I'm writing about in this article relates to high-level narcissism. I am intimately familiar with this form of narcissism. Even though the information may seem extreme, it's very important to understand that narcissism is sometimes exposed gradually. The effects of narcissism can initially be very subtle and deeply insidious. It sneaks up on you and permeates and pollutes every aspect of your being. Victims of narcissism are significantly poisoned, and recovery requires a virtual exorcism of the disease and the psychic vandalism that could continue for years. Fortunately, there are quantum solutions that can significantly reduce contemporary recovery time. It can happen to anyone. It says that if you begin to feel confused in love and have strange, vague feelings that something isn't right, don't simply rationalize and shake these feelings off. I did. I bought into the diversions, the excuses, and the cover-ups. It won't start off for you as a high-level inappropriate behavior. Of course it doesn't, because you would never commit to the relationship if it did. Be aware, very aware, that if you feel uneasy or at times darkness or something's not right about your partner, investigate and look different and look in deeper. This is why it's very important to be level-headed during the dating period in order to create safeguards against narcissists. If a narcissist decides you're a target, he'll seek to enmesh you in a relationship quickly and powerfully. Level-headed women that take their time and aren't feeling the need to have all their love desires fulfilled instantly by a knight in shining armor absolutely have the right idea. Unfortunately, I, like many others, wasn't one of them. I had failed in relationships before. I wanted to feel loved, safe, and adored. I wanted the loneliness to end. Even though I was powerful and together in so many areas of my life, there was this gap in insecurity for the narcissist to enter. If you're in a relationship with a true narcissist, by the time the personality disorder is obvious, you're hooked. Empty and exhausted, it happens bit by bit without you realizing, and powerless to create boundaries and protect yourself. In my case, by the time the horrific and monstrous personality fully appeared, I was watching my own demise with the exits closed. He displayed warning signs of abusive behavior to me previously. I discovered some of his lies previously. Because I didn't want to shatter my dream of the most glorious and magnificent man loving me, I lied to myself. I made excuses for him. I kept defaulting back to the image he portrayed when I first met him. He created the persona of the perfect man for me. He appeared as everything I thought I was for my life partner. I didn't want to admit this ingenious facade wasn't true. I didn't want to face the fact that the man he pretended to be showed no resemblance to the man he really was. My self-deception took me to a level where I really didn't nearly escape. By the time I did, I was so broken, severely damaged, and suicidal that I doubted I would ever recover. I lost out disastrously and had to rebuild my life almost from scratch. I did, and it took every resource and every ounce of strength to do it. I had to find the solutions that I now know of bit by bit. My purpose now is to prevent other individuals having to experience the soul-shattering devastation I did, and to assist their recovery when they have. I am not the only one by a long shot. As a healer and a woman who knows many other women, I know how common abusive and controlling relationships are. It is my theory that every woman has been in an abusive or significantly disempowering relationship, or at least knows a woman who has. The problem is we turn our back on women who are being abused. We rationalize they should know better, and how could they do it to themselves? We get sick of the whining and complaining when we know they willingly put up with more of the same. I used to be one of these judgmental women. I had empathy, but was secretly appalled by women who were being verbally and physically abused or living with pathological liars, criminals, and chauvinistic, unsupportive men who treated them poorly. I couldn't for the life of me understand why on earth they couldn't leave, and when they did, why they would turn around and go back. I was always walking away from abuse and said no. I knew my deservedness. Why couldn't other women stand up and be as strong as me? Well, lo and behold, an individual like me who was mentally and emotionally strong and resourceful and thought I had my life under control became one of these abused women, powerless, emotionally crippled, and mentally deranged. And yes, I also didn't leave, and when I finally did, kept caving in and going back. And I became what I despised about women. So much for my righteous indignation. So here it says the traits of a narcissist. Therefore, please take note of the following examples of personality traits of narcissism. Be honest with yourself. Can you see warning signs? The point I am making is it could happen to you, or maybe you are unaware that it is happening to you. Why is narcissism so detrimental to relationships? The answer, because narcissism is a condition of separation, distrust, and me versus you. Such states make a relationship, which requires by definition teamwork, trust, and cooperation, impossible to sustain. The narcissistic personality disorder is more common than you think. It's identifiable firstly by understanding certain individual struggles with humility. Have you ever loved a person who was never wrong, never sorry, and believes it's always someone else's fault? Well, just to interject, that was my ex-husband. Have you ever experienced an individual who's non-accountable for their behavior and doesn't learn despite the mayhem and pain they produce? Have you witnessed an individual who has no tolerance for the slightest criticism, even when given constructive advice? Read further, because this person may well be suffering from narcissistic personality disorder. Maybe you're starting to see this behavior, or you can relate to it in an ex-partner. The most massive and initially devastating realization that's necessary to assimilate in order to pull away and create authentic love is that the narcissist is incapable of genuine love and empathy. His purpose for creating a love relationship is for two reasons. First, to secure a narcissistic supply, attention, and secondly, to have an outlet to project his internal pain and torture onto. Relationship partners who are hooked and hang on make the perfect subjects to abuse. Additionally, many narcissists are very loose and struggle to do the necessary tasks in life, such as be accountable for bills and play by the rules. Love partners who have good integrity, ethics, and solid citizens grant them the safety net of survival in society. Narcissists believe that being accountable and solid makes them distinguishingly normal. Mundane tasks that don't offer the narcissistic supply are avoided and even resented. Have you ever been in a relationship with an individual who demands your attention incessantly and becomes depressed, sulky, and even full of rage if your attention goes elsewhere? This is one of the earliest warning signs of a narcissist. Please understand, healthy adults do not behave in such a way. This is where women who know the difference turn their back and walk away. They know that any guy ringing them 10 times a day and demanding attention is not well. Unfortunately, many women, as I did, can mistake or delude themselves that there is a high need for attention means that we're loved, missed, and adored, or maybe we felt wrong in leaving or speaking up as a result of our own deficient boundary function. Please be assured, this is not love. It's the deadly calling card of the narcissist. The classic bully is an archetype of the narcissist. The bully is a person who takes their own needs primarily by charm or intimidation. To the outer world, this person may appear incredibly assertive, confident, charismatic, powerful, and self-assured. Nothing could be further from the truth. Narcissism is a grave condition of insecurity and desperately feeling unloved or unacceptable. An individual with a narcissistic personality disorder inherently believes they are damaged goods and fears other individuals will discover the truth, that they are powerless. Thus, the narcissist invests a great deal of energy into gaining the upper hand to hide feeling vulnerable, insecure, and broken. When they are getting what they want, the charm is flowing and plentiful. When the charm doesn't work, the intimidation begins. Narcissism is categorized as an unhealthy level of self-absorption and a lack of empathy regarding how the insecure, aggressive, and damaging behavior affects the world around them. Sadly, when many women realize that the narcissist is insecure and isn't reinsured, she'll try harder to love him. Additionally, she'll blame his behavior on something that you are or aren't doing. And as women, we may try to do it better or get it right. Your increased efforts to love him and to make him happy only lines you up for more abuse. The narcissist pathologically believes he is a god unto himself, yet he knows he needs people to gain a mirror feedback in order to know he exists. The narcissist's inner landscape is dead without attention. Yet conversely, he despises being reliant upon attention from anyone he believes is less than him, which is everybody. The more you grant him attention, efforts, and energy, the more he'll want to punish you for this dependence on you. Be very clear, being needed by him is not love. In the myth of narcissists, the hero fell in love with his own reflection. This is where the word came from this myth. On the surface, it may seem as if he was madly in love with himself, but look deeper. He was in love with his reflection. This reflection was not his true self. The very fact that he fell in love with the illusionary part of himself meant he was not capable of loving his true self. To escape these disowned, unacceptable parts of narcissistic scripts and creates an image of himself that he can tolerate. This image is a grandiose version, a version of him that is admired, adored, and respected by and in control of others. He needs to be unique, and he hates to be the one in the crowd or normal. In order to maintain this image, the narcissist will go out of his way to be noticed, admired, and liked by others. He is very capable of procuring admiration by offering his skills and services and boasting about his talents and accomplishments. To glean praise from others will appear very helpful and generous. This is initially and only to people who are not in his common and familiar life. Thus, an individual connected with a narcissist long-term is confused and very misunderstood by acquaintances who proclaim that he's a great guy when living with a street angel, home devil. Interestingly, many of these acquaintances will be temporarily and short-lived. As soon as the narcissist is not receiving the initial praise and recognition he craves, the relationship will dry up or the narcissist will disappear, fearful that the individual will discover the truth. One moment, please. In many cases, the relationship based on the false currency simply doesn't survive. It is virtually impossible for a narcissist to hang out with people in normal and relaxed ways. If he's not the center of attention, he feels either dead or intense feelings of rage. The narcissist needs the stimulus of narcissistic supply as a constant drug, and long-term relationships cannot offer this. Acquaintances and associates that he can charm, dazzle, and impress are perfect sources. Narcissists feel the need to be out of life, mining fresh sources regularly. This is why, when things seem relaxed and serene, he'll have to take off to the world again for his drug. And now we're going to go to a song.
Please, teacher, teach me something. Nice, teacher, teach me something. I'm as awkward as a camel. That's not the worst. My 2 feet haven't met yet, but I'll be teacher's pet yet, 'cause I'm going to learn to dance on birds.
Nothing's impossible, I have found. When my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again.
I'll get some self-assurance if your endurance is great. I'll learn by easy stages if you're courageous and wait. To feel the strength I want to, I must hang on to your hand. Maybe by the time I'm 50, I'll get up and do a nifty.
All right, I'll show you again. Now remember, 3 steps to the left, 3 steps to the right.
That's the right.
And turn. All right. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I know,
one,
I'm
two,
fine.
Three. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again.
Listen, no one could teach you to dance in a million years.